Blog Talk Radio.
Where are my people at? Whether you've been born again or whether you are not, come on, wherever you are, I want you to lift your hands up, to lift your hands up. From you, teach me how to sanctify my life just to please you. You've got to teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, how to love you, Jesus. Love you. You've got to teach me, Lord. You've got to teach me, Lord, how to love you and walk with you.
Transformation Station for this Monday, March 15th, 2021. Good evening and God bless you, everyone. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, and tonight we are on lesson 3 of our ministerial training entitled Leadership the Jesus Way. But as always, we begin each and every program with a word of prayer. So won't you go to the throne room with me? Most gracious and heavenly Father, I just come now before your throne, just asking, Father God, that you will pour into me as I pour into your servants. because, Father God, it is my true and fervent prayer that these ministers do not become like Bishop Shalene Cook or any other man, but they become leaders like your son, Jesus. Lord, I want them to love like Jesus, to serve like Jesus, to live like Jesus, so that you will be glorified and people will be added into your kingdom. Lord, just bless them. I just pray your Holy Spirit will reveal to servant leaders that are already ordained and those who are not a more excellent way. In your son Jesus, I do pray all things. Amen. And to God be the glory. Hallelujah. Now, beloved, godly leadership. We have been talking about godly leadership. We've been talking about being called and how do we know that we're called. Hallelujah. Well, we have spoken about godly leadership, and it is foundational for the health and the vitality of the body of Christ. Just the theological, political, economical, and societal issues facing our culture, they are just profound. And saints, I hate to say it, but the body of believers, the church, is being marginalized by a culture that is becoming more and more and more secular. In other words, when we go to places where God is supposed to be glorified, we are seeing less and less of him and more of the attitudes and ideologies of the world. You know, biblical servanthood is being replaced with a drive for being number one. Oh, we got to win at any cost. I've got to be the best that I can be because, see, I want the spotlight to shine on me and my church and my people. But I'm here to tell you tonight, in order for the body to have effective leaders, we must reflect the principles and the values that Jesus taught his disciples. In Acts chapter 1, there are four primary principles that we see our church will be built upon. Now, these core doctrines are developed over the course of the rest of the New Testament. The structure of the church, which rests upon the ascended, living Lord in the person of Jesus Christ. It also is cornerstone on the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we have to be willing witnesses, beginning in Jerusalem and spreading into the entire world. And lastly, we must choose godly leaders. So we see that biblical leadership is foundational to the health of the body of believers. But as I told you last week, we are all uniquely wired. And it is critical for every called and sent believer to understand your passion and your gifts in order to fulfill God's mission for your life, even if it means taking on something that's never been done before, even if it means stepping out of your comfort zone. A spiritual gift, as I told you last week, is something that only God can give. And he has chosen specifically for you so that you can help with the advancement of the church on earth by serving and using your special abilities. Now, I'm going to keep it really real here. I have to. One of the reasons that so many of the called and sent get off on the wrong foot is because once they know that they are called and sent, once they say, okay, I know I'm called. Okay, now, instead of taking an inventory, instead of going through the process, they pick what they want to do. But I tell you that A spiritual gift is something that only God can give, and it's given to build up the body of believers. And he chose this course of action for reasons that only he knows and understands. But from a human perspective, we may wonder if this was the best decision. After all, the sky's the limit concerning what God could have done. He could have chosen angels to speak to the lost. We see where he did use them on many occasions throughout the scriptures. Or God could have created a special category of messengers that he knew would, like Job, that he knew would never fail him. They would be sin proof that would faithfully proclaim his word. As a matter of fact, he's God. He can just simply look down from the heavens and say, "Hello, world. I'm God, and you're not." But God didn't do any of that. God has chosen men and women to do his work among humankind. And as we seek to follow and be used by Jesus, we need to utilize all that he has made available to us. And one of the great blessings Jesus has given to us, as a body of believers and as individuals, is the gifts of the Spirit. Why has he given these gifts? Because the Bible says, has this to say: spiritual gifts help us to grow in the knowledge of Christ. You see, some people get so sidetracked with spiritual gifts and become more obsessed with the gift than with the giver of the gift. You know, believers can begin to follow signs and wonders instead of the signs and wonders following the believers. And this is surely a sign of spiritual immaturity. You know, we have to know and understand attaining spiritual gifts is not the goal. They are merely a gateway. Spiritual gifts are not a hobby to play with. They are tools to build with, weapons to fight with. We will be more effective as we put them to use for God's glory and not our own. And if God gives us gifts, he gives them to us to be used. It is, you know, because I know a lot of people God is blessed with gifts, and they're just like, "Well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting to see," you know, and the Lord is gifting them all over the place. But I want you to know something. In doing this, they disobey God, and they rob the body of believers of the blessings that they would be to the body. So for this reason, we must use the gifts that God has given us. In fact, it must be really insulting to God for us, you know, for him to give us beautiful gifts and we throw them back in his face, you know. Or he gives us gifts, the Holy Spirit instills into us gifts, and we, you know, we act like, "Well, that's just not important enough for me to use. You know, I'm looking for those more flashy gifts." But I want you to know that each spiritual gift has a special place in the body of Christ. Every gift that God has placed in the body of Christ is important. Some gifts such as teaching, preaching, prophesying, they may seem more important to others, such as hospitality or service. But God has given all of these gifts to build up his church. None of these gifts should be looked down upon or to be treated lightly. Hallelujah. So, what are the spiritual gifts that God has given his people? And the reason we're going to go through some of these is because, you know, there are a lot of gifted ministers that don't even realize, you know, they're just doing things out of the gut, out of the spirit, out of love for God, and they don't even realize that what they're doing is actually gifting from God. Or, you know, maybe they have an idea or they're not sure. So let's go through some list of some of the gifts that God has given the body. He has given the gift of administration. And that's the ability to help steer a church or a body of believers, a ministry, toward the successful completion of God-given goals with skills in planning, organization, and supervision. Is that something that you're good at? Is that your passion? Do you love planning and organizing and making sure things come, you know, come off without a hitch? Then there's the gift of an apostle. An apostle is a person sent to new places with the gospel. You may have heard of missionaries going to different countries to help spread the word. They could be described as apostles. Apostles can also provide leadership to other churches or ministry or offer advice on spiritual matters. Apostles help to build up bodies of believers, period. It's not about, oh, this is my church and these are my people. They will step in and step beside another apostle, another pastor. They will be there. They will help, hallelujah, that church to grow. That's what a real apostle does. There's the gift of discernment. And that's the wisdom to recognize truth from untruth by correctly evaluating whether a behavior or teaching is from God or another ungodly source. You know, when you do things prayerfully, as we have spoken about before, when we stay in God's word, God will give us a level of discernment. And, you know, it will not be hard because, look, what we're looking at is if we're looking through everything through the lens of Scripture and it does not line up with the word of God, then it's not of God. Because everything God wanted us to know is in his holy word. Amen. Now, there's also the gift of evangelism. And that is the ability to successfully communicate the message of the gospel to non-believers. It is about leading them to Christ. It is about building relationships with them in a way that, you know, they really, really want to get to know the Lord. And not only that, you will then turn around and help them. You will disciple others so that they can go out and lead and do the same thing you're doing. That's what disciples do. There's the gift of exhortation. Exhortation is competence in offering encouragement, comfort, support, and you want to help others to be all that God wants them to be. Hallelujah. That should be the goal of any servant leader, especially servant leaders in the church. You should want the believers to become all that God wants them to become. Then there is the gift of faith. And you say, well, yeah, faith is a gift. And people with this gift have such great confidence in the promises of God, that they can stand strong in their belief no matter what, you know. And they're the kind of people, you know, everybody has a measure of faith, but these are the kind of people that, you know, they live that I shall not be moved kind of life. You know, the more the believers murmur and complain, the more they stand on faith and says, you know, and they let it not be known. You know what? Even if God doesn't do something, he still can. You know? There's the gift of giving. Those who have this gift are particularly willing and able to share what resources they have, and they do it gladly, and they do it without looking for anything in return. You know, some people just I know this is my gift because I'm a better giver than a receiver. But I love giving. I love sharing. If I have something and it's good to me, I want it. I want my sister Michelle to have it. I want my sister Tina to have it. I want my mama to have it. I want everybody I love to have it. Hallelujah. There's the gift of healing. And that's a capability used by God to restore others. And this can be physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. There are some people that God has just gifted by the Spirit to know what to say, to be able to lay hands on, to be able to speak to someone's heart or to speak to someone's mind. There's the gift of helps. Someone with this gift is able to support or assist members of the body of Christ so that they can be free to minister to others. Some of us need to be, you know, some of us are ministers, you know. Some of us have the gift of help. We are the type of people that, you know, those are the type of people that they don't need to be all out front. They're the ones that are in the trenches. They're the ones that's in the office. They're the ones making the phone calls. They're the ones that's doing the prayer calls so the pastor doesn't have to do it. There's the gift of hospitality. And that is having the natural ability to make people, even stranger, feel welcome in a ministry, in a church. And it just, that person just lets them know that, you know, hey, I'm here for you. You know, I'm, you know, as soon as they come through the doors, hi, I'm so glad you're here. God bless you. You know, I'm so and so and so and so. You know, there's the gift of knowledge. This is the gift of someone who actively pursues knowledge of the Bible. This is a person that just loves Bible study. I mean, because they, I mean, okay, I love this because no matter how old I get, I'm going to keep a reachable, teachable spirit because I want to know more. I want to, you know, the longer I live, the more I want to know about Jesus, the more I want to understand his ways, the more I want to walk in his ways, the more I want to do what he says in the way he would have me to do it with the spirit that he would do it. There's the gift of leadership. This aptitude marks a person who is able to stand before a church, a ministry, to direct a body of believers with care and attention, and they are to motivate them towards achieving the God-given goal in their life. Because when you achieve the God-given goal in your life, then we will come together and we can achieve God-given goals for the church. But if we won't even do it for our own lives, what makes us believe that we are going to do anything for the church? So when someone has the gift of leadership, they're able to stand before a body and speak to them with love and with compassion, but with authority, and say, look, you know what the word of God says about this and that. We can't give up now. We've got to dig in. And this is not a conversation leading to money. When I say dig in, I'm talking about dig in your heels. Stand on that word. Exercise your faith. There is the gift of mercy. This person is truly sensitive to the suffering of others. And they are blessed with very loving spirits, and they are blessed with compassion and encouragement, And they like to give practical help to people. There's the gift of prophecy. Oh, let's talk about this one. The gift of prophecy is the ability to speak the message of God to others. Now, what the gift of prophecy is not, it is not soothsaying. It is not psychics. But a true prophet having the gift of prophecy, what they should be doing now, back in the day before Jesus came, yeah, they would tell you straight from God what thus says the Lord. And if you're a prophet now, you have the gift of prophecy now, what you should be doing is saying Jesus is coming back. And I want to encourage your heart to be ready. Because you see, tomorrow is not promised to us. A prophet to have the gift of prophecy today is letting people know time is winding down. Are you redeeming your time wisely? It is not telling people, I see your husband coming next year. I see your car in 3 months. That is not the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy is saying what thus saith the Lord. The gift of serving. That's the talent for identifying tasks needed for the body of Christ, and they use whatever available resources that they have to get the job done. Speaking in tongues. This is a supernatural ability by the power of the Holy Spirit to speak in another language, one that has not been learned. But hear me clearly. Unless you are at home in your prayer closet speaking in tongues, anytime that gift is utilized, there will be an interpreter. God never tells his children anything that he doesn't want us to understand. We've got way too many folks playing with this gift right here. And let me tell you something. Those of you that play with this gift, people that really have that gift of discernment, people that have true faith, they know you playing. And that ruins your credibility. Just do you. There's the gift of teaching. The skill to teach from the Bible and communicate it effectively for the understanding and spiritual growth of others. If you love for people to just get the word of God and you just love sharing the word and teaching the word and just, you know, so people can get it, hey, teaching may be your gift. There's the gift of wisdom. That's the gift of being able to sort through facts and data to discover what needs to be done for a ministry or a church. But I want you to know now that all of our spiritual gifts are still given by God. You know, some people believe that, you know, there's some faiths that believe, you know, if mama could speak in tongues, then, you know, all the women in the family can speak in tongues. That's not true. That's not true. Now, as I was reading through the descriptions a few moments ago, did any of them resonate with you? You know, as you heard what I said, did any of the gifts that, you know, do you think any of these are gifts that you have been given? You can also go out and ask your Christian friends which spiritual gifts they identifying you. Very often they can see what you cannot and can observe which skills God has divinely assigned to you. You can pray about it. If we ask God to lead us toward whatever gift he has given us, he will make it clear to us. Now, there are some churches that offer spiritual gift classes to help people discover their gifts and You know, you can go out and they're on the internet. There are spiritual gift assessment tests. But I want you to know that do not make these tests your all in all, because they're just tools to be used in conjunction with other things to determine your call, because it's very easy to lose sight of God and to lose sight of Jesus when we're in the pursuit of spiritual gifts. Sometimes we get so caught up in, oh, I can prophesy, oh, I can speak in tongues, or oh, you know, that they become idols and we take our eyes off of the one that really matters, and that's Jesus. And additionally, once we determine which gifts we have, you know, we can become pigeonholed within them. Just because you have the gift of teaching doesn't mean you should be a pastor. There are multiple uses for each gift. And your mentors, your friends, and your church leaders can help you to decide how best to use those amazing God-given skills. And you may find that your gifts change over time. For example, you might find that as you grow in your faith, you receive the gift of faith. This just happily means that you're becoming a stronger person in Jesus, and you are increasingly able to talk about your faith in a confident way. But as we age, gain wisdom, have new experiences, and journey further with the Lord, we all inherently change. And therefore, our spiritual gifts can change. You know, God, look, Jesus will upgrade us. Yes, he will. Sometimes he will do a reboot and an upgrade. So once you determine which gifts are, you know, you have, then you need to start using them to glorify God. You know, by using your spiritual gifts to volunteer, you know, start using them to volunteer in ministries around your church or in your community. Do something to move the kingdom of God forward. And you know what? This principle applies no matter how small that job might seem. You need to find a place to serve. Sometimes volunteering is referred to as serving. That utilizes at least one of your gifts, and you'll be amazed at how blessed your time will be. You may notice how easy you find it. God has given you a divine gift that you are inherently good at, and it just comes naturally. You may be surprised at how much you enjoy flexing that new gift muscle. The best place to start is in a ministry or at your church. Ask, or, you know, at shelters or food pantries. Ask the Lord to lead you to where you might need to volunteer that will fit your gifting. For example, if you have a gift of mercy, a hospital or a prison ministry may be right for you. Or if you have the gift of hospitality, greeting new people or setting up for events may be a real good fit for you. The gift of exhortation could make you an amazing addition to a prayer ministry. And it will sharpen your gift of intercessory prayer. You have to remember that your gifts can be used in many different ways. So don't feel like you have to do something just because of what it looks like on the surface. You know, don't just go with something because it feels like a perfect fit. If any assignment isn't filling you with joy, you need to find opportunities that do. You see, joy is a great indicator of what your gift might be. If a task makes you happy, that's a good sign you found your skill and your fit. So how do we know what our calling is? Like I said, I'm going to review. Ask God what he wants for you. I know that sounds obvious, but how many of us pray to ask God what he wants for our lives? Although it is commendable to want to jump in to serve in some capacity, it's best to guard our time and our heart by waiting until we find the ministry that God says is right for us. For example, I have a whole lot of interest. I speak different languages. I'm organized. I'm a leader. But that doesn't mean I should always fill a ministry slot simply because it's vacant. I shouldn't just jump up and say, hey, I'll do that. See, I want to use my gifts in a way that fulfills me, not just the one that gives me a position or a title. I don't need a title. So remember, think about your passion. You know, if you don't know what your question, if you don't know what your question, your passions are, ask yourself the following questions. What wakes me up in the morning? Where do you find your mind drifting to most often? Is there an area of life that makes your heart skip a beat when you think about it or if you think about working with it? More than likely, there's a common thread woven through your responses. What you talk about most is also a good indicator that is where your passion lies. So what you got to ask yourself is, does the church or ministry that you are involved with have programs and ministries that can work for you and meet your passion? If your passion is children, with children's church, daycare, teaching, Sunday school, or Bible study be something for you? Like I said, take a spiritual gift inventory. You know, see what you're really good at. See what your gifts really are. Then you know what? It's okay to ask for someone else's opinion. But don't take that literally either, because you've got to remember, everybody don't want to see you come up to where God wants you to be. Everybody doesn't want you answering the call. They become intimidated because they're scared if you learn where you're supposed to be, then that might somehow, you know, dim their light. So, you know, and also try different ministries before you commit. You know, try different things. See what you like. You know. So then when you do decide where you God has put you, you'll know that. You'll be confident in that. You won't spend your time wrestling with things. Or you can always start something new. Sometimes God just calls us to come out of their comfort zone. He called me right on up out of mine. And I sure was comfortable. But I had to start something new. I had to do this network here. And we've got to start thinking outside. You know, God is not in a box. God is not in a building. He cannot be contained in a building. You know, so what we got to do is be willing to come out of our comfort zone. We have to be ready to change. And we can't be afraid to step up and step out and do what God himself has called us to do. Because it's so important for us to know who we are, what we can do, so we're doing the right thing at the right time for the right reason. Too many ministers, they get started on the wrong foot. Too many called and sent get started on the wrong foot, all because they don't take the time to allow the Lord to really sit with them and show them what their gifts are. Or there are people that will see that there's leaders in the church. They will see people that have certain gifts, and they will walk around them and never say a mumbling word. Well, I'm determined for God's people to know their gifts and celebrate them. Am I saying be arrogant in them? No. Am I saying be prideful in them? No. I'm saying be grateful to the Lord that he is blessing you and using you in a mighty way to do something for his kingdom. Because see, in the final analysis, what when the Lord says, well done, my good and faithful servant, it's not going to be just because we did so well in and of ourselves. When he says, well done, my good and faithful servant, it will be because we did what he told us to do. And that was to go out and make disciples of men. It was to go out with a humble heart and a humble spirit in our gifts, not exploiting our gifts, but in our gifts, in our lanes, doing what we're supposed to do the way we're supposed to do it, because all things truly do work together for those who love the Lord and they walk according to his purpose and his plan for their lives. So when we come together, hallelujah, and we're in a room, and it does not have to be a church building. But if you put Mother Mattie, myself, Evangelist Michelle, and some of you up in a room, there are some things some people are going to do automatically. Mother Mattie will probably stand to her feet and say, welcome. And she will have direct somebody to a seat. Hallelujah. Michelle is one of these people. She's a giver and she's a helper. She, while Mother Mattie is escorting you to your seat, Evangelist Michelle will be setting some napkins and some saucers in front of you so you can be you can help yourself to some refreshment. You see, all things work together. So at this time, I'm going to step back, and I'm going to ask if there's any questions. If anybody has any questions or any comments, please press your one. Because, and I pray that you tonight, that some of you have realized that you are walking in some gifts that you didn't know you had, or, you know, you might have had some gifts, and, you know, you didn't know what it was called. Amen. So we're going to go to Mother Mattie Scott. Hallelujah. Good evening, Mother Mattie.
Good evening, Bishop Cook. Good evening to everyone there. God bless you. You really spoke a wonderful lesson. I'm learning from this, too. I know discernment is a gift, too, because sometimes you feel things. Sometimes you feel things before they happen, and you don't know, know why, but. But there are different gifts, and God do give everybody different gifts, you know. And it's very enlightening, I enjoy the program. I enjoy the program. I really because you teach, you're a bishop, but you teach us, and you know you teach people about the Lord and everything, and then you just have different gifts just yourself. So that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. Some people don't know what their gifts are, but sometimes they find out later on in life. So it's very, I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. Powerful.
Amen.
Very powerful.
Amen, Mother Mattie, and I'm so glad because, you know, we want people to be in the right lane. We tell, you know, sometimes we get so caught up in getting busy. Let's get busy for the Lord. Let's get busy for the Lord. Let's get busy. That we don't even stop to listen to how the Lord is telling us to get busy. We just take off.
That's true.
And we get to doing things, and then we wonder why we're tired and we wore out and we're resentful and we're mad because we didn't take the time to sit with the Holy Spirit and show us what our giftings are And sometimes, and let me tell you something, just because you have a gift don't mean you start off in that gift strong. Sometimes you might be gifted in something, but you got to still sit with the Lord so he can strengthen that gift in you, so when you use it, it will be effective, and it will come off with conviction, and it won't come off as half-hearted or, you know, well, whatever. You know, we can't do whatevers when it comes to the Father's business. We got to stand for his word, or we need to sit down somewhere and hush.
That's right. That's right. Tell it like it is. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. Tell the truth.
You know, that's what we need to do.
Yeah.
Because, see, we can't keep on harming the body of believers. The Lord has given us all people to lead to the kingdom. And we don't have time to be sitting over here worrying about, like, I love all, you know, I celebrate Mother Matty's gift. I celebrate Evangelist Michelle's gifts. They're all, you know, I celebrate Minister Tina's gifts, Apostle Zeta's gifts, my mother's gifts. Why? Because it all works to the good. It all works together, and it makes us all strong. If I don't know something, Mother Matty might. If I don't, you know what I'm saying? If I can't do something, Sister Michelle might. It, you know, we come together in unity and in love, and we put all them gifts in the gift basket. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
People will get saved.
Yeah.
You know? We have to know what our gifts are. And we can't be worrying about, you know, be so caught up in, oh, I don't have any gifts. You know, I need to speak in tongues, or I wanna get up in the pulpit and prophesy. If that's not your gift, don't do it.
That's right.
See, if the anointing is not on something, if God has not ordained that thing, don't do it.
That's
you know,
right.
Because see, when you are busy looking at other people's gifts, or you're walking in the gifts that's not, God has not assigned to you, then you're wasting time.
That's right.
You're wasting time, because while you're being distracted over there, you're not being utilized for the kingdom, and you're not on point, you're not in position, and when you're not in position, saints of God, that hurts nobody but you.
That's true.
Because, see, when you're out of position for the kingdom work, you're also out of position for the kingdom blessings. That's what you need to understand. Minister Michelle, beloved, do you have any questions, sweetheart, or any comments? Because I want to make sure that I'm not confusing anyone, that everyone is clear. So if anyone has any comments or any questions, please feel free to ask, because I don't, you know, I want us to all, this is a refresher course for myself as well. You know, I know I'm teaching it, but I'm teaching it because, you know, I constantly have to remind myself, lest, you know, so you think more highly than you ought or whatever.
You're not confusing nobody, Bishop, and I just want to say hallelujah. This has been so wonderful. You have touched on so much, so many gifts that I didn't even realize were gifts, and I'm just so thankful for this class. God bless you. Oh, my God. This has been phenomenal. I'm so thankful, Bishop. I'm so, so thankful.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Well, I'm just glad that, you know, we walk in our gifts, and we, you know, so many of us, you know, we don't even realize their gifts. I mean, people don't know that intercessory prayer is a gift. They don't know that giving is a gift. They don't know that helps, you know, wanting to help others to get things done is a gift. They don't know, you know what I mean, that these are all gifts given by God. And they just think, well, it's just what I do. Yeah, that's because that's your gifting. You know, there are some people that can look at situations and, you know, they don't panic. And they say, well, look, it's like this. You know, we've done the numbers on such and such and such and such, and we know what God says about this, and we know what God says about that. They're the kind of people that's just going to use wisdom. You know, they're going to calm people's nerves. They're able to just walk in and go, wait a minute now, don't wait, hold up. Let's look at this like the people of God we are. And then I love those folks that can just come in, you know, and they just show mercy. They, you know, they're going to encourage. They're going to love. And, you know, they're not the type that are flashy. You know, they don't need everybody to see that they give, or they don't need everybody to see that they do something kind for someone. They're just those people that are in the trenches. You know, they walk down the street and they might press a few dollars in somebody's hand and nobody ever sees them do it. But that's what the gift of mercy does. So I just praise God on tonight, and I'm going to ask Minister Tina, did you have any questions, dear? I just don't want to give everybody an opportunity.
Oh, hallelujah, honey. From what I was able to gather, there's a lot of gifts that God has blessed many different people with.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't even realize it's a gift. We're just doing it out of our heart and out of our intuition telling us to. And it's good to know that you can also have more than one gift and not realize it. Me, I don't realize it's a gift because I just do what I do, you know. But it's definitely a blessing to have a gift that God has given us that we can share with others.
Yes. And it helps us to be more effective. And that's the bottom line. We want to be effective. We do not just want to be out in the world doing something, you know, to be doing something. We want to make an impact for God. We want to make an impact for the kingdom of the Lord. You know, so when we go out there and we're in our proper, we're operating in our proper gifts, you know, then we can be effective. But if we're out there and we're our gift is the gift, let's say, the gift of service. We're saying our gift is the gift of service. Okay. Mm-hmm. But they don't ever want to do nothing. You know, the if the kitchen needs to be cleaned up, that's not the kind of service they want to do. You know, because they're called and sent now. But see, if you say you have a spirit of serving, then what you're going to do is you're going to identify a need and you're going to say, let me handle that for you. Let me take care of this. I don't, you know, you're not going to turn around and try to call five people. You just going to handle it.
Amen.
You know, and see, so, if, you know, you can't call yourself a called and sent person talking about I'm an apostle. Okay, you're an apostle, but you don't have the gift of exhortation. You don't have the gift of leadership. You don't have the gift of administration. You don't have the gift of serving. And you don't have the gift of giving. And I'm going, well, no, I don't have none of that. I don't want to do any of that. So explain to me how.
Oh gosh.
How are you supposed to be an apostle? I just got an urgent message, and this is the Spirit Alive Network. Evangelist Michelle is taking her mother to the hospital. So, Father God, we just come right now before your throne of grace. We just lift up Michelle's mom right now in the name of Jesus. We know that you are Jehovah Rapha, the healer. We know, Father God, you are a way maker. We know, Lord God, you can do all things but fail. So we just pray right now in the name of Jesus that you go before her, Lord. Meet her there, Lord God. Stand inside the doctors, the nurses, the technicians, everyone who will be dealing with her mother, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I just come praying, Father God, that you would bless Jeffrey and everyone that's in attendance. Lord God, that they get there safely, Lord, without any accidents, anything happening, Father God. I just pray right now that you cover the man of God, strengthen him in his body, Lord, because a lot has been going on. Father, I just stand with, we just stand with our beautiful sister Michelle. We just lift her arms up, Lord, because she's been going through a lot, Lord, but I praise you that she doesn't sound and look like what she's been going through, Father God. So the saints of God just stand together. We rally around our sister. We tell the devil he is a liar. We proclaim and declare and decree that mother shall live and she shall not die. We just know, Lord God, that you're going to do it for us, Lord. And we are praising you in advance. In the mighty name of Jesus, we do pray.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Lord God, we just thank you for this program this evening. I just want to thank you for the Spirit Alive family, for Mother Matty, hallelujah, for those comments. I just, you know, we just praise God. We just really want you to know that you have gifts, and God has given them to you. And, you know, he doesn't leave anybody out of the gifting business. He doesn't leave anybody out of the blessing business. So we just need to know that he's able and that he will. So I just praise God for all of you. I pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week and that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night and God bless you. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop.
Good night,
we love you.
Thank you so much, Bishop. Love you.
Thank you.
God bless you.